Monsieur Vidal et mes chers amis, ladies and gentlemen, this is President O'Quinn, and again I am broadcasting from the St. Landry Rehab Center at the Opelousas General Hospital here in Opelousas, Louisiana. And I am pleased to tell you that I am being treated very well, and hopefully next time that I broadcast, I will be doing it from the studios here at KVPI. Now, again, as I always do each time I speak to you, I urge and I invite those of you who are kind enough to listen and who may have any comments to make about the program or who may wish to voice any likes or dislikes about it or who may have any suggestions to make, may do so by ringing me at my number at 363-1492. That's 363-1492. Remember, 1492, the Columbus number. Same year Columbus discovered America, so it's going to be real easy for you to remember for in case you need to dial it. Or you may drop me a line. You may drop me a line at 2719 Opelousas Road. That's 2719 Opelousas Road, Ville Platte, Louisiana. Or you may call the radio station. You may call KVPI at 363-2124. That's 363-2124. You give them the message, and they'll see to it that I receive it. And I give you my assurance that I am going to do my level best to accommodate you. Now, you will recall that the last time I spoke to you, I was explaining how the Constitutional Convention was called and how it went into operation. You will remember that I told you that Evangeline Parish elected Attorney Clyde Fontenot as his delegate. In due time, all of the delegates that were elected assembled for the job of writing the new Constitution, which was designed to go into effect into 1975. And that is why it is called the 1975 Louisiana Constitution, replacing the old, decrepit 1921 Constitution. This Constitution, supposedly, when written and adopted, would be a modern, streamlined, state-of-the-art masterpiece. The convention went to work, and slowly, very, very slowly, the new Constitution began to grind out. Many, many, many different subjects were dealt with in writing this Constitution. And then, in due time, there came the age issue. The age issue is what this talk is focused against. Now, in order to get a right bearing on this, you listeners must bear in mind that the majority of the delegates were supposedly from all walks of life, yet they were nevertheless packed with politicians. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, most of the delegates were politicians. Well, to tackle this age issue, testimony was taken from various people, from various groups, including a multitude of experts. The prevailing idea was that the legal age of majority should be lowered from 21 years of age to 18 years of age. Much attention was focused on whether the age should be lowered for all purposes. There was much testimony taken on that particular issue. After much deliberation and after much discussion, it was decided that for all purposes, and listen very carefully to what I'm telling you, that for all purposes, the age of majority would be 18 years of age. What did this mean? This meant that all citizens, male and female, upon reaching the age of 18 years of age, could vote. Not only could you vote, you could run for various public offices. You could be a notary public. You were not subject to parental authority. In other words, you were your own man or your own woman. The committee that was in charge of this issue made it clear that it gave the 18, 19, and 20-year-olds the right to purchase and drink alcoholic beverages. When the issue, in its entirety, was finally presented to all of the delegates, they unanimously adopted it. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. Each delegate voted in favor of it, voted in favor of giving 18, 19, and 20-year-olds the right to drink liquor as though they were 21 years of age. In the proposed 1975 Constitution, the clause dealing with this issue clearly stated that the age of majority was 18 years of age. It did not hedge. It was not vague. It was crystal clear. It said that the age of majority for drinking purposes was 18 years of age. In due time, the 1975 Constitution was adopted and made the new Constitution of the state of Louisiana, replacing that old defunct Constitution of 1921. It, the new Constitution, went into effect into 1975. Among many changes, which will not be dealt with in this talk, it liberated and emancipated all 18, 19, and 20-year-olds from any legal disabilities connected with that of previously being minors. No question about that. It was crystal clear that you were no longer a minor when you reached 18 years of age. No waiting until you were 21. The delegates' clear intent was from that time, from the time that the Constitution went into effect, that the new age of majority was 18 years of age. Now, this made the politician delegates, and they composed a vast majority of the group of delegates, very happy, because now they could tap into a new block of voters. This, however, proved to be a disappointment because it turned out that only about 25% of those between 18 and 25 years of age turned out to vote. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is the basis for another radio talk, not this one. Now, while we're on the subject of age, I'll tell you a little joke which may amuse you. A newspaper reporter, searching to do a human interest story, approached three elderly-looking gentlemen who were seated together on a bench in the park. He approached them and struck up a conversation, and he told them that he would like to do a human story interest on each one. Well, didn't have anything much to do, so they all agreed. Well, he interviewed the first one, and he asked him what was his secret for living so long. Now, this guy was pretty well handicapped, but he managed to stand up, and he answered the question. He said that he never drank liquor or gambled in his life, and that was why he lived so long. Well, after receiving this answer, the reporter said, "Well, sir, how old are you?" And he says, "I am 89 years of age." The reporter said, "Wow." And then he approached the second man, who was in worse shape than the first one. But he also managed to stand up with the help of a cane. And when asked the same question, he answered that he never smoked or went out with wild women. And the reporter said, "Well, how old does that make you?" And he said, "I am 94 years of age." And the reporter said, "Well, that's great." Well, there was one left to go. He then approached this third man, who looked like he was about 3/4 dead, and he could barely get up with the help of a walker. He was really in bad shape. His voice was feeble and it trembled. The reporter said to him, "And sir, to what do you attribute your lifespan?" And the man said, he spoke with great difficulty, "All my life," he said, "I drank every drop of liquor that I could put my hands on." He says, "I smoked at least 3 packs of Camel cigarettes a day." He says, "I gambled away every penny I made." And he says, "I ran with the wildest, most wicked, immoral, depraved, and dishonorable women on the face of this earth." And then the reporter said, "Well, how old are you, sir?" And he looked at the reporter and he said, "I am 23 years of age." Thank you for laughing, ladies and gentlemen. And now I have reached a point where it is time for a commercial break. I'll be back to you in just a couple of minutes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it came to pass, after all of this that the delegates went through to make the drinking age 18 years of age, just like it was 21 years old, do you know what the legislature did? The legislature passed a statewide statute. In fact, not one of them, but 3 of them, making it unlawful for anyone under 21 to drink, gamble, or to drive a motorcycle without a helmet while all of the others could. Can you imagine this? After clearly writing the Constitution, after clearly setting forth that the new majority age was 18, they turned around and passed a law saying that it was not. Well, you may have guessed what happened. A lawsuit was filed, not one, but 3 of them. And these lawsuits were filed in my court attacking the constitutionality of the law prohibiting 18, 19, and 20-year-olds from drinking when the Constitution of 1975 clearly said that they were no longer minors when they reached 18, and that this law was null and void. The attorney for the plaintiffs was John Larry Vedrine, who is now District Judge of Division 8. In fact, he is the one that replaced me. I used to be the judge of Division 8. And incidentally, John Larry did an excellent job in trying to escape. The state was represented by the Attorney General's office. Well, needless to say, this case attracted very much attention. And when I say very much attention, I mean a lot. It caught the attention of all the major newspapers, the radio stations, the television stations in the state and on the national scene. And on the date of the hearing, the television vans with their satellites surrounded the courthouse square, and live coverage was being conducted. It was like a big time United States Supreme Court decision being handed down in Washington, D.C. The courtroom was overflowing, and the noise within was deafening. Newspaper reporters from every major newspaper in the state of Louisiana fought for the front seats in the courtroom. Finally, I opened court, and the bailiff called the court to order, and he called for silence in the courtroom. And it became quiet, and I'll tell you the reason it became quiet is because everybody wanted to pay attention to what was going on. Well, I began taking testimony and making voluminous notes as the various witnesses testified. I could see the newspaper reporters also taking notes. It was quiet in the courtroom, believe it or not, because everybody wanted to hear every word that was being said and everything that was going on. Well, after both sides finally rested their evidence, then the attorneys for the plaintiff and the attorneys for the defendant made their lengthy and eloquent arguments. After all of the arguments ended, I called a recess. I retired to my chambers and again read the briefs on both sides. I did independent research and I prepared my reasons for judgment. I first pointed out the pertinent constitutional provision stating that the age of majority in Louisiana was now 18 years of age. Then, I reasoned that if an 18, 19, or 20-year-old citizen could vote, even vote for the President of the United States, even run for public office for himself or for herself, or could own a liquor store, a saloon, a nightclub that sold liquor, that either male or female at 18 could become a notary public, could own and sell real estate, and do many, many, many activities that had once been reserved for only those 21 years of age and older. There was no reason why a person who was 18, 19, or 20 years of age could not have a drink, in some instances, in a bar or in a nightclub that he or she owned. But then I went further, and I pointed out that if an 18-year-old could be sent across the seas to a foreign country and fight and die or be seriously wounded by the enemy for his country, there was no reason why he could not have a beer at a saloon or at a nightclub. I was careful to point out that on a personal basis, I was against 18-year-olds drinking, but my personal philosophy had nothing to do with this decision. I also pointed out to those who might argue that I wanted young drinking partners, that I was a teetotaler. That is, I did not drink a single drop of liquor. Finally, I said that if there was, someone to blame for this 18-year-old drinking law, if that would be the case, then the finger should be pointed to the Constitutional Convention delegates who wrote that Constitution. In other words, I was giving a decision that I personally did not agree with, but I was following the dictates of the Constitution. That's what President Thomas Jefferson had said that we should do. I feel that that is the mark of a good judge. Well, when I had handed down my decision, I want you to know that all holy hell broke loose. The newspapers, the television stations, the newspaper stations went wild. Now you talk about headline news. The proponents and the opponents of my decision had a contest to see who could scream the loudest. I think it was a tie. I was Michael the Archangel, or I was Beelzebub, depending on who you spoke to. TV Channel 3 even went to the extremes of investigating to see if it was true that I owned an interest in the Jungle Club, which was certainly not true. Well, the case didn't stop there. It was appealed by the Attorney General straight to the Supreme Court in New Orleans. The folks were making bets on whether it would be a